Hello and welcome to the Anti-Football Podcast. My name is Chris. I am joined by Harry. We've currently got 14 games that we need to go through. The last four are absolutely mental. We're going to have to stick around to the end of the episode to listen to them. Because, you know, we're filming this on the 3rd of February. And the 2nd of February was a pretty mental game week. But to start off with, you know, we've got to go back all the way to about 5 days ago. Oh, Jesus, there's so much football. Wow. There's so much football. But we'll go back to Newcastle and Everton in a bit of an upset. Well, more than a bit of an upset, really. Newcastle scoring twice against Everton, winning 2-0 away from home. What are your thoughts on this game, Harry? Really surprised me, this result.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't seem like an Everton that, you know, were where they're meant to be, you know, like, they've dropped off in recent games. I know they've got a game or two in hand, but they're expected to beat teams like Newcastle, especially, you know, given when they are. Yeah. And, you know, the freak results that they've had against Sheffield United, for example. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much Newcastle relying on Callum Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the case for most of the season, really, for Newcastle. I know Wilson has been bagging in the goals for him. He's got double figures, hit 10 goals as Wilson. And the next highest scorers are Hendrick and Almiron, I think, on 2 goals apiece. And yeah, this is another case of, you know, Wilson being in the right place at the right time for these 2 goals. And I think Everton really did, you know, it just exposes the lack of depth that I think we were saying at the start of the season, you know, when they were, you know, top of the league for a while. We were saying, you know, once they get one or two injuries to players, you know, the first team was more than fine. But the squad depth wasn't really there for Everton, particularly in the field. And I mean, we saw that, you know, we're playing a double pivot of Doucouré and Sigurdsson, two number 10s, essentially, and playing Alex Iwobi out on the wing, who, you know, isn't exactly brilliant, I wouldn't say.
I don't know. I like him at Everton.
I don't mind him, but, you know, would you really say, you know, he's good enough for where Everton are wanting to be, which is, you know, pushing into them top six places?
No.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, Everton, you know, they are, you know, as it stands, in eighth. 11 points with Spurs, only 2 points off of West Ham sat in fifth, and 6 points behind Leicester, who are in fourth. But they have 2 games in hand on everyone above them, apart from Spurs, where they have 1 game in hand. So it's not all doom and gloom for Everton. But, you know, you certainly wouldn't know it looking at this game. Yeah, and I mean, Newcastle, you know, it was really odd game, this, because they played like they have done for most of the season. You know, sitting on the back foot, letting the other team have possession. But this time, actually felt like they were creating things, they were creating chances. I think, you know, the switch finally to go to a four at the back, you know, playing wingerless, you know, putting Ryan Fraser up top with Wilson, you know, obviously with the Bournemouth link up top. I feel like that's done Newcastle a world of good. I don't think the five at the back suits them, really, especially that 5-4-1. And I think this switch to a sort of 4-3-1-2 that we saw here and against, who was it against? Crystal Palace yesterday. Whilst they didn't get the result then, they got the result today. I feel like this formation suits them far more than the five at the back does.
They just don't have enough centre backs to cover that position, given how, not, you know, how quick games are coming.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, between, you know, players like Wilson, Fraser, St. Maximin, Almiron. They've got some really good attacking players. You know, they just need to let them loose, let them off the reins a little bit. And I feel like this formation is far better than a bank of five and a bank of four, and Callum Wilson opts up on his own at letting them, you know, go forward. Because it's not like Newcastle, you know, haven't been shipping goals. It's not like they've been defensively solid and going forward. That's been their issue. They've conceded 36 goals this season. That's more than Brighton, Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley, all teams around them. You know, so it's not like defensively they've been solid. And I think this switch to a four at the back, it just suits them far better, I think. And, you know, I feel like if they'd have stuck with that five at the back, they'd be in real serious danger of finishing in the bottom three. I don't think they will finish in the bottom three as it stands, but they still could well do. But it all depends on what happens with Steve Bruce. You know, I know Newcastle fans seem to be at the end of the wits with Steve Bruce currently. Yeah, what do you reckon of Steve Bruce and the job he's done?
Well, I think they, for where they are, they shouldn't be, you know, where they are because of how much money that's spent. But because of where they are, Bruce is the best man because they have never been relegated. But realistically, they shouldn't be in the position to begin with. I think I said
Did you say Bruce has never been relegated?
I believe that's a... No,
I swear he was relegated with Hull, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's... I'm thinking of Allardyce, sorry.
I'm thinking of Allardyce, yeah.
Well, I think I said last time that Rafa Benitez has left his job in China. And I think it's going to take only a couple more bad results and, you know, Newcastle are going to find themselves on the brink of the bottom three. And they're going to have to bring him in.
Well, apparently, I'm not sure how reliable this is, but apparently, according to Sky sources, at the very least, Rafa wants nothing to do with Newcastle because he just doesn't want to deal with Ashley.
That's fair enough.
You know, take that for what you will. And I'm not sure where Newcastle would look if, you know, they did end up sacking Bruce. I know Frank Lampard has been linked with the job at Bournemouth quite heavily, really. So, you know, if he ends up going to Bournemouth, I can't really think of too many managers who are, you know, currently available that Newcastle would get.
Andre Villas-Boas.
Well, he hasn't been sacked yet, I don't think, has he?
Oh,
I think he's just been suspended.
He's been suspended?
Yeah.
Why's that?
Well, because of his comments.
Oh, was this to do with Encham?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't been sacked due to how bad the Champions League run was. And oh yeah, did you see the match with Rennes was off?
No, I didn't. Why?
The 300 fans went into their training ground and lit it on fire. So,
right. yeah, that's not great. I wouldn't say.
I mean, Marseille are doing bad, but you don't even see Sheffield United fans doing that.
Yeah. Aye, that is pretty mental, that. You know, I mean, not to stereotype, but the French do seem to have lots of practice with setting stuff on fire. Looking in, they seem to have riots basically every other day.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's just an observation. You know, they're very good at it. It's not an insult.
You can't leave that in.
Yeah, we can. It's fine. Hi, Val, if you're listening. You know, as for if Newcastle, just to get back on track, if Newcastle were to sack Bruce, you know, you're thinking of, you know, there's only really a couple of names that spring to mind that Newcastle will be able to get that would actively be an upgrade. You know, the obvious choice, obviously, is Eddie Howe. But, you know, no one knows what's happening with Eddie Howe. He's apparently taking time out of football. We know that Celtic have been admiring him from afar for, you know, basically the entirety of this season, considering how Celtic's season is panning out at the moment. You know, you're thinking of, and then you go down to other names, like, you know, people like David Wagner. I don't think Newcastle...
favourite is Eddie Howe and Graham Jones.
Graham Jones, isn't he that assistant manager?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I won't be surprised if that does happen. I mean, that is a pretty Ashley move. You know, we saw that with... oh, what was his face? Oh, thingy. When Pardew left. John Carter, is that his name?
No, I don't recall a John Carter.
Oh, I swear they appointed like an assistant coach.
What?
I swear they appointed an assistant coach as like manager or something.
John Carter. I don't
John Carver. That was it.
John Carver.
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, it was like after the sacked Pardew.
Okay.
I think, anyway. But yeah. I mean, that would be a pretty Ashley move because he wouldn't have to spend much money on bringing a replacement. You know, just give it to the assistant manager.
I'd like to see someone like Chris Hughton or Nigel Pearson or Marco Silva.
Well, I mean, you know.
This is Lampard.
I mean, you know, I know Hughton isn't exactly having the best time at Forest at the moment. They are, what's the word? Shite. And, you know, like, I don't think he'd really be doing much better in the Premier League. When you were saying, I were hoping to see someone like, I thought you were going to go to names like, you know, Thomas Frank, for example. Looking at, you know, championship managers who are, you know, on the upper tiers of championship managers. You know, someone like Steve Cooper, as well, as another name who could be mentioned in that bracket. I don't think Farker would leave Norwich. I think he's got a pretty stable job there. And it looks like Norwich are going to come back up as well. So I don't think he'd leave Norwich for Newcastle. But, you know, someone of that ilk, I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that Thomas Frank hasn't been approached sooner by a Premier League club.
Do you know who else is listed for Newcastle?
Tell me.
Right, so we got True Geordie. And Ordeck.
And Ordeck, just one of them.
Fucking True Geordie, that would be brilliant.
I mean, he has no ball knowledge. But it'll be interesting to see what does end up happening with Bruce. I mean, I can't see him seeing out the season, if I'm being honest with you. And I can't see True Geordie coming in, to be honest with you, either. You know, as unfortunate as that sounds. But, you know, we'll wait and see. Because Newcastle, they do have a lot of talent in that squad. And to say that after 22 games, they're on 22 points, and a minus 14 goal difference. You know, that squad should be in a lot better of position considering the money that's been spent, I'd say. Yeah, is there what else you want to add on to that, or we move on?
Well, we just started talking about managers, really, didn't we? So.
Well, we did, yeah. Well, you know, well, I mean, there wasn't too much really to say about the game itself. I mean, Everton had most of the ball, but they couldn't really break Newcastle down. They defended well. And when the chances fell to Wilson, he took them. Right?
Yeah. Should we go to the City game?
Yeah, I mean, we can go to the City game. You know, again, if you're a Sheffield United fan, you've got to be so frustrated, because it's not like, you know, every week they're getting hammered. Like, because I feel like that'd be more sort of, well, not understandable, but you'd be more, you'd be less annoyed at that, because you'd just say, right, well, we're not good enough. But constantly in games this season, they're playing well. I mean, I don't think they were the better team here, but, you know, they're putting a good performance. And I mean, they were unlucky to come away with this with nothing. They're putting some brilliant performances, Sheffield United. They just haven't been able to catch a break.
Well, I mean, we've constantly identified their strikers as being an issue. And throughout the entire January window, they didn't address it, so...
Yeah. I just, you know... They just don't have the quality up front to be able to convert the chances that they create. I think they got away with it last season because of the surprise factor. And I don't want to say, you know, they've been found out this season, or, you know, it's second season syndrome, because I think that's a myth personally. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, the lack of a quality striker has, you know, and I mean, we're just saying the same things repeatedly, but the lack of a quality striker has really hurt them. You know, they bought in Rian Brewster for, what was it, like 25 million?
Yeah.
You know? And as much as, you know, I like Rian Brewster, I think he was a good forward at Championship level for Swansea. I think he got a goal every other game or something like that. So he clearly had a bit of quality about him, but I think at Premier League level, especially at a team where you're not one of the best in the division, like Swansea, not were last season, but they were a high-level team, you know, he's not getting as many chances. And I feel like his inexperience has been exposed. And I feel like for £25 million, you need to be signing, you know, someone who has proven and is guaranteed to get your goals, you know, when you are in a relegation scrap. And they just didn't do that. They invested wisely because... You know, they're investing for the youth, they're buying young players rather than bringing in, you know, players who they won't make a profit on or will be gone within 3 or 4 years. So investment-wise, it's a smart deal, but you can't do that when you're not safe.
Agreed. I mean, I think they were kind of stupid in selling, what's his name? Callum Robinson, but he's not done that well at West Brom, so... Mm.
But, to be fair, I do think Robinson has looked a better forward than all Sheffield United forwards this season.
Well, no, McGoldrick has got 6, 7 even.
McGoldrick got 7 goals this season?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. Maybe we're not giving McGoldrick enough credit then. Has he really got 7 goals?
Oh, wait, no, I'm wrong. 5 goals, sorry.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, 5 goals, it's not great, but I mean, it's more than he got last season, I think. Yeah, but like you say, they just need someone who will be able to consistently finish those chances. I mean, that's the reason why Newcastle aren't in the bottom three at the moment, is because, you know, they've got Wilson up front who will finish those chances. It's why Crystal Palace aren't near the relegation zone at the moment, is because they had Wilfred Zaha who can finish those chances. It's the reason why Brighton are currently not struggling, but they're in the scrap, definitely, because the forwards haven't been as prolific, and that's cost them in games, you know. And that's something that really, well, I'm not going to say it does need addressing, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen, because I think it's pretty safe to say that they are down. So, you know, who knows? You know, Brewster could really kick on in the Championship next season, for example. But, you know, as it stands, none of those strikers are Premier League quality, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I mean, I think Sheffield United should have been selling players to prepare for going down. And I wonder what's going to happen with the ownership.
Well, as far as I know, the Saudis are in it for the long haul. I mean, they've been talking about next season, saying that, you know, if they go down, they will be keeping Chris Wilder. So it sounds like they plan on remaining at the club, you know, which is a good thing. I think the stability would be a really good thing for Sheffield United. Because I think, you know, if they go down next season, if they go down this season, sorry, into the Championship next season, I think they do have a good chance of getting re-promoted. A lot better of a chance, I'd say, than most of the other relegated teams in the last few years. I think because they are playing well, they're just not finishing the chances. But that's a lot less unforgiving in the Championship. You can afford to miss those sorts of chances, but you can't afford to miss in the Premier League. So I feel like, you know, Sheffield United, with the current squad that they have, I feel like they would be able to get re-promoted. And maybe that's why they're keeping hold of, you know, people like Sander Berge or Aaron Ramsdale, Jaden Bogle, people like that, is because, you know, they are planning on sticking around in the Championship, you know. I mean, and that's not, you know, unfathomable. We've seen Emi Buendia and Todd Cantwell and Max Ahrens. They've stuck with Norwich in the Championship this season. You're looking at Ismail Assar. He's stuck at Watford. David Brooks is, and Josh King, until the January transfer window, are stuck at Bournemouth. So we've seen quality players stick around at relegated clubs, and I won't be surprised if Sander Berge, Aaron Ramsdale, people like that, were Sheffield United players next season, because I really, truly do feel like they have a good chance of coming back up next season.
Well, they definitely need to start buying Premier League, you know, strikers when they get re-promoted.
Yeah,
I think we've summarised Sheffield United pretty well.
Alright, and I mean, you know, just a quick touch on Man City. I mean, they are currently sat, you know, top of the league with two games in hand on Man United, who are level on points with them. And they are definitely the ones to beat, Man City. They are the ones setting the pace at the moment. And, you know, the fact that they've only lost two games all season, they've only conceded 13 goals. They haven't lost a game since mid-November. I feel like this Man City team, after a pretty slow start, has really started to pick themselves up. And I feel like the quality of that Man City team is starting to come together again. And I will say that, you know, what a sign Ruben Diaz was. I know people gush over him constantly, but that Diaz and Stones partnership, you know, the fact that that is keeping Aymeric Laporte out of the team, who people were saying was one of the best centre-halves in Europe when he was playing, now, the fact that them two are keeping Laporte out of the team is a testament to how good that partnership has been at the back this season.
Well, Laporte has been struggling with injury, to be fair. I mean, I wonder how they're going to do against Liverpool without De Bruyne and Aguero.
Well, you know, as they have proven, they do have quality players in every position, and they have two or three quality players in every position. It's not like, you know, well, they've been without Aguero for basically all of this season. And De Bruyne, yes, he is a quality player, but they've got midfielders that have stepped up this season. You know, you look at Ilkay Gundogan, look how improved he looks this season compared to last season. You know, you've got Phil Foden, Bernardo Silva, you know, And that's alongside, you know, Rodri, Fernandinho, who are, you know, more defensive-minded midfielders. You've got, you know, a lot of quality centre midfielders there. It's hard to see City slowing down this season, purely just because of the amount of quality they have in every position. They've got a deeper squad than anyone else in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've just thought about it. Given the way this season has gone, Man City, Liverpool are probably going to end 0-0, so...
Oh, yeah. No. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'd put my house on it being 0-0. But it's all these big games that get hyped up, they end up turning out shit. And the best games that you'll watch are the games that are down at the bottom end of the table. Like, what a segue that was. What a segue. Like the 2-2 draw between West Brom and Fulham that happened last weekend. A draw really doesn't do either team any favours. And with West Brom's other results yesterday, they're really in the shit now, West Brom.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They have got allegedly the best man for the job in Sam Allardyce, but Fulham have got two games in hand over them, so... I mean, I guess Fulham have the best chance of the three to go, you know, to become safe.
Mm.
And then West Brom bottling a lead. To be fair, they did come from one behind to get that lead.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, people say Sheffield United's gone, but I genuinely believe that Sheffield United have more of a chance of staying up than West Brom do currently.
Well, no, I was looking at their games, and they don't play teams around them until the final... Well, they've already played them, even. But they don't play them until the sort of final stretch of the season, and by then they could be down.
Who is that, Sheffield United?
Yeah, they don't play the teams around them until the last six games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, I mean, you know, it's a good point, but just based off of performances, you know, the way that the teams play, I'd back Sheffield United to finish at least above West Brom, at least. I mean, they're only 1 point behind West Brom, and West Brom are shipping goals for fun. I mean, they've conceded 52 goals this season. You know, Sam Allardyce is averaging at just under 3 goals conceded a game.
Mm.
You know, for someone who built his name on being such a defensively solid coach, you know, he's shipping goals for fun in this West Brom team. And the fact that they sacked Bilic, you know, it's so short-sighted to me. Because what the fuck are they going to do when they get relegated? What are they going to do? Because Sam isn't going to stick around. In fact, I won't be surprised if Sam resigns before the end of the season so that he can still say, oh, I've never been down. I wouldn't be surprised, so just so that he can say he's never been relegated, keep that record intact. I genuinely wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, what are they going to do once they go down to the Championship? Because Bilic was one of the, you know, he got them out of the Championship last time. So, like, I don't know what, you know, they were expecting, really. Bilic would have been the best man to get him out of the Championship next season. Oh, who the fuck are they going to get now?
I mean, there are a couple players for West Brom which are Premier League quality. It did kind of... They were fucked.
Mm.
I mean, the players that I list are Semenya G and Matias Pereira.
Yeah, they're definitely the two standout players. I mean, I really like Sam Johnstone as well. I think he's a really good quality keeper.
52 goals.
Yeah, but... That's not really his fault, though. Like, he does make some really good saves. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a top-quality keeper or anything, but I think he's definitely a Premiership-quality keeper.
Yeah.
I think, you know, looking at the rest of the squad, you know, I personally like Carlan Grant, but he's not had the best time at West Brom. He's really struggled. to displace Callum Robinson, and with Diagne coming in. Is that how you say his name? Diagne?
Diagne.
That striker from Galatasaray.
Senegalese.
I think Grant's really going to struggle to get back to sort of force his way into this team, which is a shame because I like him. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't think West Brom... I just think Sheffield United look like the better team, personally. And people are saying that Sheffield United's gone when West Brom are still in with a chance of staying up. When West Brom's only 1 point above Sheffield United, and Sheffield United have played a lot better.
I think it's just due to the start that Sheffield United had. Whereas West Brom, you sort of think back to their time under Slaven Bilic.
What, like getting a draw against Man City and then sacking him the day after?
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, why would you do that? Like, there's no long-term thinking there. There's nothing. Because they're not going to have... Even if they stayed up, Sam ain't going to stop them next season. So...
Oh, another player I'd list for Premier quality, but this is probably bias, is Conor Gallagher.
Conor Gallagher, yeah, I knew that's what you were going to say. Yeah, I mean, he looked good on loan last season in the Championship. And I mean, this season he looked good. But I wouldn't say he's better than, you know, Billy Gilmore, who's currently at Chelsea. And
Billy Gilmore hasn't played in that West Brom team.
True, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't really stood out to me. I mean, I'm sure he's probably stood out to you more, probably because you're looking for him when he plays. Yeah.
I mean, Fulham, it's kind of hard to pick a player of the season for them. Maybe Areola.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are quite a few players for Fulham who have played really well this season. I think Anguissa has really been a top quality midfielder for him. I think Anderson and Tosin, you know, have played really well for him. You know, defensively, I think they've really improved from what they had. Especially, I mean, you look back to the first game of the season, conceding 3 against Arsenal. Bobby Reid's looked good when he's come in, as has Ruben Loftus-Cheek. But, you know, there's not been... I don't know about Fulham. I mean, they have played well at times, definitely. I mean, they went through that phase of getting about 24 draws in a row. But I don't know. I mean, they definitely still could stay up for them. They've got games coming up, you know, against Burnley, which I don't know when that's going to be rescheduled. But against Sheffield United coming up soon. You know, they've got games coming up where they need to be winning, because they needed to win these previous two games. You know, got a 0-0 draw with Brighton, a 2-2 draw with West Brom. And those draws don't do either team a result. You know, Fulham, if they wanted to seriously pull away from that bottom three, they needed to win those two games. And they're not doing. Like, you know, I don't know. I think it's the fact that Fulham are chasing now. It's out of Fulham hands, which, you know, could be a motivating factor for the players. You know, come on, we've got nothing to lose, sort of motivating them. And it could also have the opposite effect. I don't know what the atmosphere is like in that dressing room. But come to my head, are Fulham going to get relegated this season? It's probably 60-40, but I would probably say no, to be honest with you. I think, you know, someone like Newcastle is more likely, at the moment anyway, if they stick with Steve Bruce,
Brighton and Burnley are the best of the bottom six.
Definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, with us, the fact that we are starting to, you know, get back to the way we were, which is grinding out results. You know, I mean, we've only conceded 13 goals in 20... No, is that right? No, we've scored 13 goals. Never mind. We've conceded 26 goals, which is, you know, less than Man United, who are currently sat in second. You know, less than West Ham, who are currently sat in fifth. You know, and that's playing half the season without us captain at centre-back, one of his best players. You know, if we'd have played the whole season with Ben Mee, you know, we'd have conceded far less goals, I think. Defensively, I think we're fine. Going forwards, where the issue is for us. But the fact that we're grinding out results against the teams around us, that's what you need to do down there. You know, you don't need to go to Man City and win. You don't need to go to Man United and win. You need to beat West Brom. You need to beat Fulham. You need to beat Brighton. And that's what the teams, you know, in the bottom three, for the most part. You know, a draw doesn't do West Brom any favours. It doesn't do Fulham any favours. Both teams will have seen that game as a must win.
Absolutely. Should we move on?
I mean,
Palace Wolves.
Yeah, we've got a Palace. We'll touch on Palace Wolves a little bit. This was a game against two teams who were sort of hovering over the relegation scrap. I think, you know, they were seen as almost, you know, well, not in any immediate danger, but, you know, two or three bad results going against them, and they could easily drop down into that scrap. And Wolves, again, you know, they didn't look on it at all. I know a later result sort of counteracts this. But, you know, Palace, again, like I was saying, you need to grind out results against teams around you. That's what they did here. And Wolves, you know, again, just didn't have... they just didn't look great.
Agreed. I mean, there was nothing to talk about in the first half.
Zero shots on target from either team in the first half, I think it was.
Yeah. Wolves do look a lot better with someone to aim at the top, with Willian Jose.
Yeah, I think he's definitely looked sharp since coming into that Wolves team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Palace had less chances, but they made the most of it, thanks to Berizzi.
Oh, go on, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say it's been a very good signing.
Yeah, I agree there. I think, you know, as he took a little bit of time for him to get adjusted to this Palace system, you know. But I think this move to play him in his natural position, the number 10, in the last two games has really helped him out. I think he's looked a lot better, you know, sat behind the striker, which is his natural position. And I mean, he has been real value for money and could end up being, you know, a sort of, maybe not Wilfred Zaha replacement, because who knows if he's going or not. But, you know, he could definitely turn into a sort of Wilfred Zaha type player. I do really rate Eze. And yeah, Palace, you know, again, they just did what they needed to do against a relatively poor Wolves side. I mean, there's not really that much to it.
Yeah, I don't get why Palace aren't playing their new signing from Mainz, Jean-Philippe Mateta, when Benteke and Batshuayi are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard from German fans, you know, I'm not in major conversations with them, but from what little I've heard, they really don't rate Mateta highly. So, you know, I'd be interested to see if he fares any better in the English league. But, you know, he doesn't come over with a glowing reputation, I'll say that.
What? He's played 15 games this season, scored 7.
Well, I don't know. I haven't watched him play this season. I'm just going off of what I've heard.
You've been fed false information.
Well, yeah, we'll see when he does end up getting his starts for Palace, because I'm sure he's definitely in Hutchins' plans. But I mean, there's not really too much else to talk about, really, is there?
Well, the next game isn't that much better.
Exactly, yeah, I mean, a 0-0 draw, another game that's boring as piss. Another big game that fails to deliver. Man United and Arsenal. God, why do I watch big games? They're always fucking boring.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's nothing really to add, is there? Mm. You just skip it?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's not really too much to talk about. And I mean, there's a lot more to talk about in terms of both Arsenal and Man United in the midweek games. So, yeah, we've got Southampton and Aston Villa. There's a few main talking points, I'll say, from this game. God, VAR's bullshit. Southampton should have won this game.
Yep. Definite handball, and fuck me, the offside is fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Like, we obviously can't get VAR right, so can we just get rid of it? Like, I was someone who was really, you know, staunchly defending VAR last season. I thought, you know, if used right, it can be really effective. You know, like it is in cricket or rugby, for example. But we can't get it right, so why do we have it? We coped for over 100 years without it. So why all of a sudden are we dependent on it?
Yeah, but people still talk about certain decisions. Had they, you know, stood or not stood, would they have changed the game, i.e. hand of God?
Yeah, but the point is that they didn't have something which was supposed to eliminate those. Like, if you have VAR, the point is you can't be getting decisions wrong. And how many decisions has VAR got wrong this season?
Yeah, yeah.
Or how many ridiculous decisions, you know, with someone's arm being offside or their fucking pubic hair being offside. Like,
why are their pubes out?
Well, you know, it's ridiculous stuff like that. You know, like, and I mean, it's a shame because it took away from this game, you know, which was, I thought it was an entertaining game at least. But yeah, Southampton really can feel aggrieved that they didn't get the 3 points against Villa.
Yeah, agreed. But there was one legal goal that stood.
Mm. Yeah, Ross Barkley, managing a bag just before half time. I'm a real fan of Ross Barkley.
Why did we loan him out?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, I was always defending Barkley at Chelsea as well. I thought he, you know, could turn up. And, you know, I think he's really found a great partnership with Jack Grealish. And I think, you know, he definitely could be knocking on the door of the England squad. I mean, personally, I rate him higher than I do Mason Mount.
Well, so do I. I don't like Mount. But
well, I think the problem that Chelsea have is they have a lot of talent in the number 10 position. You know, you've got Kai Havertz, you've got Mason Mount, you've got Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Ross Barkley currently out on loan.
Conor Gallagher.
Conor Gallagher, another one, yeah.
Havertz.
Yeah, Havertz. Ziyech can play there. You've got, and in terms of just centre mids as well, you know, you've got Kovacic, Jorginho, Kante, Gilmore. So you've got a lot of talent in that central midfield position. And especially if, what's his best, Tuchel is playing with a double pivot. He's playing this 3-4-3. You know. Players are going to have to go. And I think Ross Barkley, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him sign permanently for Villa in the summer because he's really found his groove there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fear that will happen as well. I mean, they've done really well with players coming in from other teams on loan and then signing them, like Douglas Luiz. I guess, I mean, their whole team's been brilliant this season, to be fair.
Yeah, I think, you know, apart from, you know, maybe another centre-back and another left-back, you know, there's not many...
I like Mings and Konsa and Target.
Well, I like Konsa. I'm not too sure on Mings myself. And Target, whilst he's great going forward, he can be exposed defensively at times. He's really more of a wing back. If they were playing a back five, I think Target would suit that. But I think in a back four, especially with Mings on the left hand side as well, that side can get exposed defensively. I do like Target going forward, but I think he's really good. But yeah, apart from those two positions, can't really pick too many holes in this Villa team. I think, you know, as opposed to last season, this season they've really smartly recruited, you know, bringing in some great players. You know, Ollie Watkins up front. Like, I mean, you know, at the time, you know, we were thinking, you know, £33 million plus add-ons was fucking ridiculous for a Championship player who's never played a minute of Premier League football. You know, it was mental signing, and that's probably going to be the Neymar of lower teams, that transfer, because it's going to break the market for Championship players. But I do think he's probably been worth it. I think he's been excellent for Villa. Martinez in net has been absolute class for him. And, you know, we've already mentioned Barkley. And Matty Cash, right back as well, has been really good for him. So they've really recruited smartly this season, Villa.
They also signed a new player from Marseille that I think is going to do really well.
Sanson. Sanson's, from what I've seen of him, he does look like a really intelligent footballer, a really graceful footballer. And he gives him a different option in that midfielder as well. He's more of a creator than, you know, Douglas Luiz and McGinn, for example, who do tend to be more destructive type players.
I mean, outside of the two incidents in the goal, was there really... I think we've covered it all, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we'll move on to the anti-football derby then. I know we'll come at this game from two different angles, I'll say. But I'll let you start off because, you know, with Tuchel coming in, he's, you know, I mean, the game against Wolves, he only had 24 hours with the players, so this is really his first proper game. So I'll let you have the floor first. What do you think of this game?
Couldn't be happier. You know, that is how Chelsea should play. I mean, dominate the ball, dominate, you know, the chance. Don't allow anything in our half. I mean, if I were to make a criticism, it would be I wish we scored more. But against your defence, I'll take what I can get. And Callum Hudson-Odoi, best player on the pitch by miles that day.
I was really impressed with Hudson-Odoi at wing back. I think, you know, Peters really struggled to contain Hudson-Odoi. I think, you know, the fact that he really did hug the touchline, you know, it was really, you know, bombing down that right-hand side. I think he was really effective there. You know, and, you know, I wasn't upset with our performance, really. I think it was just a case of, you know, one team. You could tell which team had spent £200 million in the summer. You know, it wasn't a case of, you know, the players weren't trying or, you know, everything we were doing wasn't working out. It was just a case of you had the better players and you played better. I'm not too annoyed about our performance. And again, like you say, I think if you had a clinical forward or, you know, another clinical winger, it could have easily been a lot more. I think Timo Werner's confidence is just shot. You can tell that just by looking at him, the way he approaches play. You know, I almost feel sorry for him, really. Like, he's just really not had a great time at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And he really needs a goal to sort of kickstart his season, almost.
I think that's his best game in a while for us.
Sorry? I mean, that's saying a lot, really, to be honest with you.
What, his best game in a while?
Yeah, because I thought it was shocking, to be honest with you. He should have had at least two.
Well, on the ball, he wasn't losing it. I mean, he was going into the box a lot more. Found himself in a good position, but did completely miss kick it. I mean, he wouldn't have been in that position under Frank. He would have been found out wide. Not enough service for Abraham, in my opinion. And this game did show we got goals from anywhere. And what a goal from Alonso.
Yeah. I think, again, it was just a case of, you know, there was too much quality in that Chelsea team. You know, again, and that was reflected in the goals that were scored. There were two, you know, really good goals. You know, I can't fault our performance. I just think Chelsea really performed well. But it'll be interesting to see how you perform against a team who will take the game to you, because, you know, that's not our style. You know, we like to, against the big teams at the very least, sit on the back foot and try to hit on the counter-attack. You know, that we let you have the ball. But, you know, when you come up against a team like Liverpool, for example, or, you know, someone who presses a lot more, who will take the game to you, it'll be interesting to see how Tuchel's looking like possession-oriented style will work. Well, but for now, at the very least, it's looking good.
Yeah, well, we got Spurs next, and then another team that will sit back and let us have the ball. That's kind of been Mourinho's style. But they have lost the last two games by doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll get on to Spurs in a bit, but I think it's just that the fact that Kane's out, he has no plan B.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting back until Kane comes back. But, you know, again, like I said, as for this game, I'm not really that arsed about it. We were never going to get anything from it. What's that?
What did you expect? One shot, then?
Sorry, cutting out there. What did you say?
Huh?
You were cutting out there. What did you say?
Did you expect to have more than one shot?
I mean, probably, yeah. But I mean, the way we played, going forward at least, didn't really help. But, you know, I'm not overly discouraged by performance, is what I would say.
Did your only shot come from that Mbongo guy?
I think Mbongo had a shot, and I think Tarkowski had a header as well from a corner.
Well, Mbongo, his header hit the outside of the post, so, you know, he definitely could have scored with the only shot.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been a bad reflection on us.
Yeah. I do like Bongo for us. I think, you know, he's definitely a very promising young player. But I think the fact that he's 22, he needs to start getting more regular football at the moment. But with Wood and Barnes both injured at the moment, this could be a chance for Bongo to break through into the first team, you know, who knows. But yeah, I think it was a good performance from Chelsea. Really, you know, just kept us out of the game, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, Cyril, you Is there else you want to say on this game?
No, but that's pretty much the Chelsea I want to see in the future now.
Yeah, you definitely did look a lot better. Right, I mean, we'll move on to Leicester and Leeds. You know, another game where... I'm not going to say it was a huge upset, but it was still a pretty big upset. You know, especially after Leicester did get the first goal. Leeds really did play well in this game, and it was another solid game up front for Patrick Bamford.
Harvey Madison sets up Harvey Barnes. Did I just call him Harvey Madison? Sorry, James Madison set up Harvey Barnes to get the first goal. That was a good goal. Then quick reply by Stuart Dallas, is that his name?
Yeah.
And then there was another quick reply, but it was offside. Harvey Barnes. Wasn't that a bit of a controversial one?
To be quite honest with you, Harry, I can't really remember it too clearly, so I don't think it'll be that controversial if I can't remember it. But I could be wrong.
And there was another disallowed goal, this time by Leeds. This time by Leeds, that was as offside as you can get.
Yeah.
And it was actually shocking. I had to go to VAR to check that. It would have stood otherwise. Yeah. So, in that regard, that's a good point for VAR, but that reflects very badly on the linesman.
Well, the linesmen are being told to keep the flags down. They're not supposed to flag. That's why he kept his flag down. They're supposed to keep it down and wait for VAR.
Oh, okay. Then Bamford gets his second assist, and it was a brilliant goal by Rafinha. Couldn't really stop that one. And then Bamford gets his third assist of the game. Because he's an absolute... Oh, no, sorry. He
got
the first one, scored the second one, and then Jack Harrison with another goal. Yeah, so Bamford had a really good game that game. 11 goals, 4 assists now.
Yeah, he's really having a good season, you know, as I say, through gritted teeth. I think Brendan Rodgers... Yeah, he was. I don't know what's happened to him. Well, yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers' change to a three-man defence at half-time really didn't do him any favours. I feel like tactically, I think he got it wrong there, bringing off Albright and for Soyuncu. I think he got it wrong there, personally. And I really do think that Leicester are missing Ndidi in the middle of the park. He's someone that really, you know, well, he's one of the best at what he does currently in the division. And yeah, he's a big miss for Leicester.
What would you take it? Would you replace him with Mendy?
Well, I mean, you know, there's not really too many options in that Leicester team. I mean, you know, you've got Mendy, you've got Dennis Pratt, who, you know, is a completely different type of player to Ndidi. And then you've got Hamza Chowdhury, who Brendan Rodgers doesn't seem to be a fan of, really.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I rate him.
Yeah, I like him. I think especially when he was breaking through, he had a lot of people raving about him.
And then they've got Dennis and Marty, but he's not been given much of a chance under Rodgers either. Where's that Luke Thomas playing? Is he a winger?
I think he's a left back, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they're kind of screwed then.
Yeah.
I don't rate that Nampilis Mendy. Tielemans is a very good player.
No, me neither, really.
You don't rate Tielemans?
Oh, no, I rate Tielemans. I don't rate Mendy.
Oh. So maybe the... I don't know. Who do they put there? How long is Ndidi out for?
I think he's out for a month. So.
Jesus, I need to rectify that quick.
Yeah.
Should we move on to West Ham Liverpool?
Yeah, we can do. I mean, I don't think there's really that much to cover. A good performance from Liverpool, where they really needed a good performance.
Yeah, they've been. They were poor prior to the Spurs game, but yeah, two back to back 3-1 victories from. They'll probably be a bit aggrieved that Craig Dawson was able to score past them. They got Man City this weekend. How do you think Kabak and Davies are going to play?
Well, I think at least one of them is going to play. We know that Matip is out for the rest of the season along with Van Dijk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do think at least one of them will play. I'm not sure who Klopp will prioritise. I know that Ben Davies is a really classy centre-back. I've been advocating to get him at Burnley for years from Preston. I think he's a real, I'm not going to say top-quality centre-back, because I don't think he's Liverpool quality just yet, but he's definitely a very good centre-back. I'm not too sure about Kabak. I've not really seen him play. But I'm
all rated.
Do you think?
Yeah. The Klopp is friends with David Wagner. And David Wagner obviously used to work at Schalke, and he said you should get him, he's very good. Yeah,
I've not seen him at all really, so I can't comment on him, but all I'm gonna say is that I know Davies is a very good player.
I don't get why Burnley didn't sign him, because it was the actual deal, if they sign him permanently, will be 1.1 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of Preston players have been going for cheap. I know Ben Pearson went to Bournemouth as well. You know, they were struggling with contract situations. And yeah, I don't know why he'd sign him either. You know, but I do think it'll be a good signing for Liverpool. I think even with you know, all their centre-backs being fit, I do think that Davies will still have a role in that Liverpool team. I think he could be a more than capable fourth choice behind Gomez, Matip and Van Dijk. And I think, you know, depending on some of his performances, which, you know, could start very soon, he could potentially even be, you know, knocking on the door for first team chances when it comes fit. Who knows?
Well, on deadline day, Saints wanted Nico Williams, but Liverpool rejected that. So it seems they have plans for him, even though they're not playing that Tsimikas.
I think it's just so that, because Williams is their backup right back, isn't he? So they can't really loan him out, because if Trent gets injured before. But yeah, Saints did manage to get Minamino on loan though, so that was at least they got something out of Liverpool. But yeah, I mean, I don't really think there's too much to say on the actual game itself. It's a pretty run of the mill game.
Yep.
So we'll move on to, again, another surprise result. Brighton beating Spurs.
Well, given how they do against each other, Brighton have beaten them before at the Amex. So it isn't, and that was a 3-0, if you remember. Aaron Connolly got two goals that day.
Yeah, I do remember that. But that Brighton team seemed a lot better than this current Brighton team, at least in terms of form anyway, which is why I'm saying it's a surprising result. But yeah, I mean, Spurs looks pretty bad, I'd say.
Yes, it did. I mean, I've said all season that Brighton have been the unluckiest team. And, you know, you can't let a team like Brighton play their football because they will punish you. And they were very fortunate, Spurs, that they didn't concede more, because Brighton were knocking at the door enough to do that. And fucking hell, that block by Alderweireld to deny Connolly, that is world class stuff.
Yeah.
There were a lot of memes about that. It was like a FIFA meme. It said, "Fuck it, I'll turn into Poyet." And it was four players, but yeah, I mean, Spurs didn't really create anything, and you know, to counteract being 1-0 down pretty early. I mean, it was a very laid back performance. And you can desperately see that Son without Kane is not the same player.
No, I think it was evident that he was missing the partnership, definitely. And I think the fact that Gareth Bale has, you know, essentially flopped at Spurs, you know, not to beat around the bush, you know, that's really not helped matters.
No, absolutely not. I thought they were too late in introducing Carlos Vinicius.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that he didn't start, personally. I mean, it doesn't seem that Mourinho's particularly keen on either Bergwijn or Bale at the moment. So I'm surprised he didn't start with Vinicius up front. And I think, you know, whenever he has played, I do think he's looked sharp, Vinicius.
And Joe Rodon just keeps showing his inexperience. I mean, last time against Liverpool, he just let a ball bounce and ended up conceding. And in this game, he just kept giving chances away.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he is a good centre-half, Joe Rodon, but I just don't think he's ready for the kind of level where Spurs want to be at, where Spurs expect to be at. I just don't think that he's ready for that, really.
There was a chance for Adam Webster where he volleyed it straight and Lloris pulled off an amazing save to deny him. I mean, there were plenty of chances for Brighton to emulate that performance of that 3-0 win last time out. Yeah, I mean, Connolly pretty much summed up their attack with that very, you know, lackadaisical finish to allow Alderweireld to clear it.
Yeah, but, you know, they got the results, so, you know, I'm sure they won't be mourning Brighton. Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's a big win, this, for Brighton, because, you know, if they would have lost this game, Brighton, then they'd currently be sat on 18 points, only 4 points ahead of Fulham playing a game more. And this win takes them on to 21 points. And it makes their position in the league look a lot healthier, at least. Because, you know, if you say a point a game will keep you safe, you know, Brighton are currently on that.
Yeah. Well, Fulham have got Leicester next.
Fulham have three hard games coming up next. I believe it's Leicester, Everton and West Ham off the top of my head.
Leicester, West Ham, Everton, yeah.
Yeah. So they do have three tricky games coming up. So, you know, we could start to see teams drift away from Fulham. We'll have to see.
Well, Brighton's next two are you, Burnley, and then they have to play Aston Villa.
Yeah. I think the Brighton-Burnley game is definitely big. I think if we can beat them, and then whenever the Fulham game is going to be played, if we can, you know...
It looks like 8th of May.
8th of May? Fucking hell, that's a while. Are you sure that's not the other game? Because we haven't played them yet this season.
You haven't played them yet?
Oh. No. Our home game was postponed. I think the 8th of May is probably the away game, isn't it?
Okay, right. Yeah, my bad.
So, yeah, whenever we play Fulham, it'll probably be sometime in March, I think, because it's not in February. If we can beat them and then beat Brighton, then we're fine. But, yeah, I think Saturday will definitely be a crucial point for both us and Brighton. Because if Brighton lose, then they are, you know... Well, they're not in danger. Well, of course they're in danger because they're in a relegation battle, but it makes them look a lot worse than if they'd win, right? And I think they're coming into that game looking, you know, saying it'll be a must-win, just as we are. You know, and if they win that, then they look a lot healthier and we go straight back into scrapping for it, whereas right now we're setting the pace. So, yeah, that'll definitely be a big game on Saturday. I better move on because we've got some very tasty games to cover that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we'll start off with the earliest game. Sheffield United West Brom. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier. We've spoken in detail about Sheffield United and West Brom. So, I mean, we'll just focus on this particular game. But again, like I said, Sheffield United were the better team in this game by far, I'd say.
Yep. But they were the ones who fell to a 1-0 lead. Matty Phillips. Just before half time. And I'd say West Brom, despite having less of the ball, were the better side in the first half. Would you agree?
Probably, yeah. I mean, Sheffield United did manage to create some good chances, but they couldn't really carve anything of substance out.
It was the second half that defined that game. Jaden Bogle, who, as you've been saying, should be starting more because now he's played 7 games, 2 goals. Set up by Chris Basham. And you're starting to see a bit more of the Championship, Sheffield United, where they are bringing their centre-backs forward.
Basham was my man of the match for that game, I think. He played really well, both defensively and going forward.
Yeah, and then you saw Johnny Egan set up pretty sharp. Pretty sharp. I don't know, he's a bit of an odd player because sometimes he'll go missing, and then sometimes he'll score a very important goal like that.
Well, I think it's just that veteran's instinct, you know. He's been at the club for years. He was with them in the League One days. So he knows, you know, he knows Sheffield United inside out. You know, the fact that he's been there so long, he's got that veteran's instinct, you know. He'll make decisions that other players won't do, you know. He's just got that bigger footballer IQ than, you know, for example, Brewster. And that does help him out sometimes. And I mean, you know, physically, he has dropped off. I don't think he's... If you just base it purely on, you know, his physical attributes, you know, I don't think he's Premier League quality. But I think that, you know, sharpness in his mind that he still has keeps him at that level.
I see what you did there. Sharpness.
Oh, that was unintentional. Yeah, I like that.
I don't know. I feel like he's more of a championship player. I remember seeing him years ago at Saints. They just signed him from Doncaster, and he did really well there. And then, obviously, as you mentioned, Sheffield United, and then League One and Championship, he was scoring a lot there. But he's 34 now.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, he's probably only got a couple of years left in him. But I still do think he seems from the outside looking in like he is a valuable member of that Sheffield United squad.
Mm-hmm. He's 35 on Friday.
Alright. It'll be interesting to see back in Championship if he, you know, how well he performs. Because, I could see him bagging double figures in the Championship at least. You know, I think he's...
Glenn Murray.
Yeah, I think he still has that footballer's brain about him, which, you know, keeps him at a good level performance-wise.
Should we get into the tasty match?
Yeah, let's. I feel bad for Hasenhüttl, man. Like, would anyone play me?
The other match as well.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, yeah, we'll go to that. We've got a Wolves and Arsenal then. As much as we both, I think, hate David Luiz, that was a bollocks red card. There was no contact.
Someone had to do that to his job.
There was no contact. I've watched that from about 10 different angles, and I can't see the contact.
I'm going to say it was a penalty because I don't like Arsenal. But also, I thought even if he did make the contact, I thought you're not allowed to red card him because of double jeopardy.
I think it's because it was deemed a goal-scoring opportunity. Why he got sent off.
Okay, so that's three. Okay. What goal from Nicolas Pepe?
Oh, yeah. Honestly. And that's the frustrating thing. I think he has that in his locker. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, Semedo was shit there. He needed to be better. But Pepe has that in his locker. And, you know, you'll see it, you know, about three times a season. You know. And it must be so frustrating for Arsenal fans to know that he has that quality, but nine times out of ten he goes missing in games.
Yeah. I mean, he cut through that defence like hot knife through butter. I mean, he does a nutmeg, and then he shakes off a challenge, and then curls one right past a frozen Rui Patricio. Mm.
Oh yeah, there was no way Patricio was getting to that.
Then we had the penalty, as you mentioned, which wasn't a penalty nor a card. And that sort of starts the downhill trend of Arsenal. I mean, Ruben Neves. His penalties never getting stopped. So we go into half time 1-1 and Arsenal man down.
I think, you know, the fact that it was, you know, such a 1-2-3 gut punch, right before half time, I think that really will hurt Arsenal. That was sort of like the perfect time for Wolves to score because it keeps morale high going into half time. And I mean, we saw that, you know, 5 minutes into the second half, an absolutely wonderful strike. You know, what sweetly hit from Jean Moutinho. You know, no keeper in the world's going to stop that. He placed it absolutely perfectly into the top corner. You know, if he threw it, he wouldn't have got it placed any better. And yeah, they ended up, you know, holding on to the lead, did what they needed to do. And it was definitely helped by the absolute stupidity of Bernd Leno.
I really do not understand what was going through his head.
No idea. Do you think he was in the box? That's the only solution that I can think of.
No. I
don't understand it.
He either got that very, very wrong, or he was having an absolute nightmare. It does kind of reflect badly on Wolves that they weren't able to get another.
Mm.
I mean, they're now down the nine with their second. Well, they did force some saves out of Runnison, actually.
Mm. But, you know, when they're in the lead, you know, especially when you consider the league position, you know, that they didn't want to commit men too forward, you know, when they're winning against Arsenal, who still had, you know, players like Aubameyang, Lacazette, Saka on the pitch, who could have punished them on the break. So I think it was just a case of smart game management from Wolves not to overcommit, even though they did have the two-man advantage.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. And Arsenal, I think they're going to appeal. They'll probably appeal with the David Luiz one.
Mm. Well, Arteta's come out and said that they will be.
Yeah.
Which... you know, I think it was more of a case of reputation being, you know, a hindrance for Luiz. I mean, that's since last season, that's his third red card and his sixth penalty conceded.
Yeah, yeah. They probably are better off missing him for three games anyway.
Yeah.
That Leno one is not going to... if they appeal it, that's definitely not enough.
Exactly, yeah.
And then they've got Villa this weekend, and they have to go with either Runnison or Macy in goal because Matty Ryan's injured.
Mm, yeah, especially considering that Villa absolutely spanked them at the Emirates this season. You know, it could be a long night for Arsenal fans, that.
Mm. Yeah. Should we get into... should we save the best for last, or should we get into it now?
Yeah, we might as well. We'll end the podcast on a pretty dull game, so we'll go to Newcastle and Crystal Palace. I'll let you go first. What were your thoughts on this game, Harry?
What a goal from Jonjo Shelvey. That's my first thought.
Well, let me just add on to that point and say, what a goal from Jairo Riederwald.
Yeah, I mean, that's Shelby's first goal since July, I think they said.
Mm.
Which is kind of strange, because I thought he was Newcastle's best player of the season last season, so...
Mm. Well, I know a lot of Newcastle fans, and they've been saying that he's basically been lazy all season, and that he doesn't suit a midfield pairing with Hendrick, so...
Mm, probably showing them up. And then it just goes to shit. I mean, everything is pretty much in the first half, isn't it? So maybe we'll just summarize the first 25 minutes. Raider Vowed, as you said, really good goal. And then Eberichi sets up Gary Cahill.
Mm. For his 50th career goal, that Gary Cahill. Yeah, I think, again, like we were saying about Palace, you know, they're managing to grind out results to stay above that relegation scrap. You know, they're not being drawn into it. And I think, you know, Palace will be fine now. I think with this win, they've basically confirmed that they'll be safe. Because, I mean, again, you know, you say 40 points is enough. That's what? 3 wins and 2 draws from the next 16 games. Like Palace. Mm. And it was definitely an improved performance from Newcastle as well. you know, well, I say improved. It wasn't improved from the Everton performance, but it certainly looked a lot better than they had done in previous few weeks. But, you know, at the end of the day, results are what matters. And, you know, they didn't really create too many dangerous chances, I don't think.
Well, they got one win in their last 13 games.
Oof, that is horrible.
And besides that, as a draw, 0-0 with Liverpool.
Mm. Yeah, that is poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can easily see Newcastle going down this season. I genuinely can. I think, you know.
Do you think Mike Ashley will stick with them?
Well, I mean, you know, I think they're stuck with him forever, Newcastle fans, until he dies. I mean, he didn't go when they went down before, so I don't think he'll go now. I mean, to be honest with you, I think he's wanting to sell. I just don't think that he's able to sell. I mean, look at the Saudi deal that eventually, you know, I don't know if it's still going on, but it's fallen through.
Wasn't that because the Premier League voted against it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. Well, in terms of this game, really, though, I mean, there's not really too much to cover. So we're getting to the one that people's been waiting for, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this was depressing. I wouldn't blame Hasenhüttl one bit if he decided to walk. I mean, you know, what can you say after that? Like,
Well, I was thinking I quit. I mean, there are certain players on that team that are too good for that shit.
Mm.
I mean, there's numerous factors that contributed to this 9-0 loss. First being that they have got a depleted squad. They're having to rely on players who are clearly not ready for the Premier League. And feeding into that, players not being ready for the Premier League, that Jankovic gets a red card, definite red card, by the way, in the first 72 seconds, I think I said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do sort of feel bad for him because, you know, it's his Premier League debut. He wants to, you know, impress. He wants to put in a good first challenge. But it was disgusting, really. I mean, a couple inches either side of his leg or a couple inches higher, it's a career end of that. It was a disgusting challenge.
Yeah, no defence.
Yeah, no. And, you know, I do feel bad for him because he'll be sat there thinking his career's over now. So, you know, obviously I hope he does come back from it and stuff. But, you know, that was a sign of things to come for Southampton, really. You know, it's just awful. Like, there's no words for it. It's just awful.
I mean,
everything that could have gone against.
Loss.
What's that?
That's his second 9-0 loss.
Yeah, in 2 years. Like, that's not normal.
No, that isn't.
Like, it's not like, you know, 5-0 loss. Because like, a 5-0 loss, you know, it happens when teams dominate, yeah. Like, but a 9-0, that's the record for a Premier League loss. And they've done it twice in 2 years. Like, the sum it up, honestly.
I do blame the board. I mean, in the last game they were playing, what's his name? James Ward-Prowse at right back.
Mm.
And then because they're low on right backs, so they go and loan out James Vokins and Jan Valery.
Yeah.
Like, even though they were part of that performance that saw them knock out Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
They loaned out Shane Long to Bournemouth.
Mm.
I mean, they need strikers.
Yeah, I think, well, the hope was that they'd be able to bring in Josh King, but obviously he went to Everton. That didn't materialise.
What? I only saw that Fulham was the other team competing for him.
No, he's ended up going to Everton.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know Saints were interested.
Oh, yeah. It was between us, Fulham, Southampton, Everton and West Ham, and he went to Everton.
Can't really fault him for that.
Yeah, exactly. But he'll be getting double the wages there that he would have done anywhere else.
Well, yeah, and they've got more chance of finishing higher than everyone else.
Exactly. Well, West Ham are in fifth.
Yeah, but Everton got two games in hand.
Yeah, true.
I mean, and in this game they were playing, so we've mentioned Jankovic, then they were playing Ramsey, Kane Ramsey, I don't know who he is. I think, yeah, just terrible. Aaron Wan-Bissaka opens up the scoring. That's his second Man United goal.
Yeah, I think Wan-Bissaka and Shaw were both excellent. I think Shaw, I think he's definitely got to be knocking on the door for re-entering that England team. I think he's been magnificent this season. Probably Man United's best player. If I had to pick out one.
What, outside of Bruno?
Well, he's probably a level with Bruno, I'll be honest with you. But I really think Shaw's been magnificent this season, honestly.
Yeah, he has.
Is obviously the best thing that could have happened for him, because he obviously needed that bit of competition to get that kick up the arse.
Yeah. Second goal was Greenwood to Rashford. Easy goal. Third goal, I think it would have happened anyway, but it was an own goal by Bednarek.
Yeah, if Bednarek hadn't got a touch on it, it was an easy tap-in for Fred at the back post. So.
Yeah. Then, fourth goal, 5 minutes after that, Luke Shaw gets a second assist. Edinson Cavani.
Yeah, I mean, just a free header. There's no excuse in that.
I don't know why what's his name? Ryan Bertrand ducked.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
Then there was a penalty appeal. Had to go to VAR. No penalty. So it went into half time 4-0 down. Could have been 5 had that penalty stood. Che Adams scores. And why wouldn't you have it? VAR screws him over again.
Yep, his left bollock was offside, so it couldn't have counted.
Martial, easy goal. Scott McTominay scores.
Great goal.
He gave him man of the match. Then I really didn't think this was a penalty.
No, I didn't, honestly. Martial didn't, apparently. Apparently Martial said it wasn't a penalty. I mean, the fact that you're diving 6-0 up against a 10-man Southampton is disgusting, really.
Yeah. Well, Bruno takes it and there's only on one result there. Martial then gets his second off the bench. And Daniel James, well, he completes the tying record-breaking win. Tying record, even. 9-0. I think, hadn't that record slash penalty happened and Che Adams' goal would have stood, you're talking about 6-1 there.
Yeah, I mean, but it still would have been a humiliating loss, though. We're not talking about Southampton getting back into the game.
Oh, no. No, they were absolutely woeful.
Just a second, I'm just going to have to break you off there. All right, I'm back. Yeah, what are we on about? We're on about the eighth or
the Saints wouldn't have got back into it even if those results had gone the right way.
No.
The VAR.
Even. Yeah, no, they wouldn't have done. Like, yeah, I mean, mind you, the 9-0 loss last season was one of the best things that happened to them. They went on a mental run, Southampton, off of the back of that. So, you know, who knows, it could be a similar story this season.
No.
Well,
I think that's a sign of the times for Saints. Mm. Their board needs changing. I think Hasenhüttl's going to walk. Danny Ings, James Ward-Prowse, players like that, they're going to walk.
Mm.
I mean, who's going to want to sign for them when they haven't got a board, a good manager, and then a good team?
Mm.
I think they're lucky that they are somewhat safe. Well, actually, what are they on? 26 points?
They're on 29 points. So, yeah.
I think they're very fortunate that I don't think Fulham are going to be able to get 5 wins in 18 games.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, 2 wins and a couple of draws gets them safe, which they will get in 17 games.
What, even with the depleted squad and now 2 players missing for 3 games?
Yes, they'll get like what did you say, like 7 points from 17 games? You don't think they'll get that when they've got basically every team still to play?
Yeah, I know, but they've got a worse team than Sheffield United now.
I can't see them not picking up 7 points, honestly. I think after the 9-0, I think a lot of players will have a point to prove. I think, you know, because against they're playing Newcastle again,
I think
in the next game, so that could easily be, you know, a game where they get back on track, you know what I mean? Because that is a winnable game.
Without their star centre back.
Well, without the star centre back, still, they've got. You're acting like the whole team's out. They've still got Danny Ings and Che Adams up front. Still got James Ward-Prowse in the middle. They've got, you know, Minamino's coming. They've got Armstrong, Gineppo. You know, they've still got McCarthy in goal. But they've still got a strong squad, strong enough to get 7 points in the rest of the season.
Yeah, I guess.
Honestly, if Southampton go down, I don't know what I'll do, but yeah, I was going to say somewhat outlandish as a bet. But honestly, I'll put my neck on the line. Southampton won't go down.
I think they do need to go down. They need a drastic change. Because the board did not spend a penny in January when Hasenhüttl has been crying out for new players. You know, he didn't even want like 40 million, you know, on one player. He wanted players.
Mm.
And Saints have definitely got that money. I mean, the amount of money they've made from selling Van Dijk, Mane, TV Mane.
Mm.
Yeah. And then they keep thinking that their academy is producing the next Bale. I mean, those days have passed.
Mm.
Yeah,
you can't be relying on your academy to produce quality players. Like, you can obviously get useful players in from your academy, and I'm not saying bin off your academy entirely, but you can't rely on your academy to be your transfers for a season.
Yeah, well, that's what they've done this season, and that's why they've lost 9-0. I mean, the owner can't. The players out there simply weren't good enough because there's a lack of investment.
Hmm.
And it's not even there's a lack of money. The owner has 4 billion and there's plenty of money in the club.
Hmm.
So I don't know what the hell's going on there. Maybe they're wanting to go down. I don't know. And then rebuild.
Well, why not just rebuild in the Premiership? I don't get that.
Neither do I. I mean, over the years, they have a reputation for selling their best players. I think that will happen in summer. Affenhutel will walk during the season. He's too good a manager to have suffered those kind of results. He could easily walk into a better team.
Well, here's the thing, is that who would he go to? Who wants a manager currently? Like, you know, who's in a better position than Southampton currently?
Well, Spurs aren't looking too great.
Yeah.
Mourinho has now lost more home games than he did in at any other team he was at.
Mm.
Been there, what, 18 months?
Yeah. I mean, it does look like the board are going to stick with Mourinho for the time being, at least.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying that's a bad... That's bad for Mourinho, given... Mm. The craze had.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is above them? I mean, maybe not even England. Maybe going abroad, going back to Germany. Because Leverkusen aren't doing well. They went out to a fourth tier side. In the German Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he could do well in his native country there.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I do think he is a good manager.
I would have liked him at Chelsea before Tuchel was rumoured.
Yeah, I think, you know, it is likely we will see a big exodus. I think, you know, players like Danny Ings, who, you know, was he one goal off the Golden Boot last season? Like, yeah. Even without all this stuff that's happening now, he was too good for Southampton. But, you know, like, now I think it's almost confirmed that he'll probably be off in the summer.
Mm.
Because I think, you know, any team in the division would love to have him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's capable of being at a top six side. Maybe Liverpool, because Firmino's crap.
Well, I think he could get into any of the Premier League teams, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he's good enough to, honestly, I do.
Could you imagine him at City, though?
Well, I don't think he's the type of player that City would go for.
No.
I think he's better than Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But I think team in the division, I think he starts for them. I genuinely do.
Yes.
You know, the only team I can think of really is Spurs, but that's only when Harry Kane's fit.
Yeah. Mm. What, Everton with Calvert-Lewin?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I rate Ings higher than Calvert-Lewin. I think he
Dominic is
more than Calvert-Lewin.
I think if the board, or rather the owners, don't get their asses in gear by making drastic changes from the infrastructure of the club, then you Saints are going to end up as, you know, Blackburn, Sunderland, Hull, Pompey.
I mean, that's a bold statement, that.
Yeah, you can't have two freak results like that. And then stick with the same. It's not. You can blame the performance on the pitch, but that's only happening because there's nothing being done by the higher ups to help anything on the pitch.
Mm.
They can only do with what resources they've got.
Yeah.
And Saints have tons of resources. I don't know why they're hoarding it.
Mm.
Corrupt owners, I don't know. It is owned by an investment corporation, so
I mean, you know, next season could be a big season for Southampton. I don't get me wrong, like, I don't think we should overreact. I mean, I don't think Southampton, you know, well, they looked good this season. Well, they didn't look great, but they looked decent this season, apart from that 9-0 loss. But I think, you know, the next couple of weeks will really shape what the next couple of years are going to be like, to be honest with you, at Southampton. It'll be interesting to see the reaction.
What are they playing for at this moment? Nothing.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, I do think they're going to lose to Newcastle. Newcastle got a lot to fight for.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
That's why I kind of feel like that sort of played in the 9-0. They were like, yeah, we've got nothing to play for anyway. I mean, there is a problem nowadays that players don't play for the badge.
Yeah.
And on that damp note, shall we end it?
Yeah, it's a bit depressing that. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go at this moment in time, go be even more depressed, watch Man City absolutely thump Burnley. And if you want to read my reactions to that, you can follow me at IWGPChrisBFC on Twitter. You can follow the podcast at AntiFootballPod. Follow Harry at HazardChelseaFC. You might as well, even though he chats lots of shite.
I do.
He does, honestly. Yeah. You think this is bad? You should see some of shite he puts on Twitter. But yeah, that's it for us, and we'll see you next time.